Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one he was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread."
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. As I said, it is a joy to be back here. Oh, yeah, thanks. And if you want to find out more about Third Space Ministries, our website is up there on the screen. We're also on social media, Facebook and Instagram, and I still can't get used to calling it X, Twitter. And as I say, we do have a newsletter which goes out via email every couple of months, and you're very welcome to give me your email address if that's something you want to find out about our approach to sharing God's love in third spaces, places where perhaps the church wouldn't normally have an intentional presence, places where people are least likely to expect a God encounter. We do a lot of chaplaincy work. We do some direct sort of team outreach. Our approach is very kind of relational and incarnational and walking alongside people. And it's lovely to be able to be in places and have those conversations with people. And I've got a great team alongside me that help me to do that. We also love to encourage and equip others to share faith. We have created a course called First Steps, Sharing Jesus in Your Everyday, which is written for the most terrified of Christians. Those of us that really, really feel out of our depth in even telling someone that we're a believer. So it kind of strips it right back to the beginning of, let's start with loving the person in front of us and then build up from there. And as I say, I'd love it if any of you want to volunteer, find out more about Wimbledon Tennis Outreach, or get involved in praying for that. Please do chat to me about that. Summer is on its way. So this morning, I've chosen to unpack a little bit the story of the road to Emmaus. Thank you, Dan, for reading that so lovely this morning. And to consider that story in how it helps us in our witness. If you've got Bibles with you, you might want to keep them open at Luke 24. I will be just referencing it, going through point by point. But this is such a lovely story of two disciples experiencing this amazing journey, really, unknowingly with the resurrected Jesus. I wonder what that must have felt like. We know that one of the disciples is called Cleopas, but we don't know who the other one was. It could have been Cleopas's wife. It could have been a male friend. The jury's out on that one. But either way, this is a powerful transformation from despair to joy, from hopelessness to hope. So let's put ourselves in their shoes for a moment. Just try to imagine what it would have been like. Here they are, leaving Jerusalem, where all the dramatic events of the last few days had unfolded before them. They've experienced massive highs with the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, which we celebrate on Palm Sunday, to the lowest of the lows, watching their teacher, their friend, be crucified only a few days later. They're walking away from all of this towards home, completely confused and grief-stricken. Verse 17 says that they were downcast. It appeared to them that this Jesus, who had promised them so much, had let them down. That must have been what it felt like. Because all their hopes for the future, which they had for this messianic victory over the Romans, now seemed to be crushed. All their hopes seemed to be crushed. And to top it all, the women have told them that Jesus' body has mysteriously disappeared. This is a lot to take in. This is a lot upon their emotions, their processes of grief and disappointment and confusion. And they're trying to make sense of it all. And then Jesus appears in a way in which his identity is veiled. But the way that he walks with them is a really beautiful model, which to a certain extent we can replicate as we too think about what it means to journey alongside others. And there are 6 points that I want to highlight just briefly on each of them today. The first one is walking alongside. Walking alongside. And this is what Jesus is obviously doing. And, you know, verse 14 and 15, they were talking with each other. They talked and discussed these things. And Jesus walked along with them. Jesus walked alongside them in their everyday. In their everyday. It wasn't a holy place. It wasn't a special moment. It was just walking home. Jesus appears in our everyday. And the Bible tells us that it was 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So maybe a slow walker, 2.5 hours perhaps. That's quite a bit of time to talk. Now, I envisage them walking slowly. I mean, maybe they didn't, but I kind of just picture that. And because I always get the impression that Jesus never really rushed. So I imagine them just walking slowly, mulling things over. And Jesus is committed to this journey. He goes at their pace, walks alongside them at their pace. He didn't say, I can give you 20 minutes, then I need to be on my way. He committed for the journey. And I wonder how committed we are to the journey of walking alongside someone for more than a couple of hours. It can be tiring work, can't it? We all want quick fixes. It's the way that our brains are wired, really, the way that culture has sort of wired our brains, to want things quickly, to want to see those results. But often we can find ourselves walking alongside someone for a long time, at their pace, committed to the journey, regardless of the outcome, and walking with them through their brokenness, their confusion, their disappointment, their grief, their questions. Last year, I took a sabbatical, which was a truly blessed time of 3 months out. And part of that time was spent walking a pilgrimage in northern Spain called the Camino de Santiago. Has anyone else ever walked the Camino de Santiago? Or heard of it? It's something that I'd been wanting to do, and honestly, it was amazing. It was just, I'd do it again in a heartbeat. It was an incredible experience. And I went with two friends. I didn't walk the whole distance. We did it for 10 days. And the simplicity of it all, the slowness of it all, I just felt I needed to slow down life. Everything you need is in a tiny rucksack on your back. And the only thing you need to think about each day is just to get up and walk. And every day you're immersing yourself in nature, in creation, just walking through forests and countryside and just removing all distractions. It was so good for body, mind, and spirit. And the importance of walking alongside people literally really came alive to me during that time, because you find yourself walking alongside other pilgrims from time to time. Sometimes you can walk for hours without seeing anyone, but other times you find yourself journeying with people and then in the evenings eating meals with them and seeing the same people day after day after day as well as you walk this journey together. And sharing faith was really easy because everybody is on that journey, that pilgrimage, for a reason. They are there because they're maybe at a crossroads in their life. They're wanting to find deeper meaning. They're trying to process grief, something like that. People are on it. It's more than a walking holiday. They are on it with this intentionality for seeking something deeper. And so the first question everybody asks when you meet up for dinner or you're walking along is, so why are you walking the Camino? Boom, straight in. Then they share their story. And then it gives you permission to share your story. And I think we prayed with people or shared faith with people every day, just naturally. It was so easy. And I remember one day, me and my two friends, we were walking along and we spotted a lady just sort of ahead of us, and she looked like she was on her own. So one of my friends was practicing her Spanish with a couple of people behind. But me and my other friend, we kind of just walked up to this lady and carried on walking with her. She was in her 70s. She was from America. She was completely on her own. And so after a bit of small talk, inevitably the question came out, so why are you walking the Camino? And she said, I'm walking it to try to find faith again. And I said, oh, well, tell me your story. What's happened to your faith? And she said, my faith has really wavered since I lost one child and two grandchildren and am now facing cancer myself. So I said, well, no wonder your faith is struggling. That is a lot to take on. And so we talked through lots of that and what it meant. And I talked through what it meant knowing Jesus through difficult times, or my stories couldn't compare to hers. But the friend that I was with, I knew she had some similarities with this lady. And so I felt that we were kind of needed to swap over a little bit. So just naturally at one point, I sort of took one sidestep and my friend kind of stepped in a bit. And we carried on walking and talking, and my friend kind of then led into that more. And I looked around at one stage and they were weeping together and my friends praying over her, all as we are walking along this journey, listening and talking and sharing faith. So take time to look for those that we can walk alongside. Okay. Engaging in conversation. Jesus begins by asking questions, verse 17 and verse 19. What are you discussing together as you walk along? In other words, what's been going on? Tell me your story. He gains this understanding of where they're at, of what they're thinking. He kind of works out what level they're at and asks them to just sort of share that, unload that. Now, we can ask questions, you know, a bit like how I experienced that, those episodes on the Camino. We can ask questions and we can invite people to share their story, their experiences of life, how they view the world. Sometimes we need to be intentional in thinking through the questions to ask people, which the questions that we think were going to get us a little bit deeper, those open-ended questions, those questions just to have up our sleeve, that to just bring in at the right moment, that will just enable us to go deeper with someone. So Jesus asked some questions, but also he respectfully listened. You know, he didn't go in and not give these people a chance to talk and just dominate the occasion. Sometimes we can be so zealous and so eager to get our point of view across that we actually dominate and don't let the other person share their side of the story. And listening is one of the most important skills that we possess. And how well we listen to others has a major impact on our relationships. We all have a basic emotional need to be heard. It's what validates us, part of what validates us as human beings. And I've shared with you, I think last time I came to speak, about our latest initiative, which is a listening service in a local coffee shop in Morden, and we call it Space to Talk. And we've really seen how such a simple act of listening can make a big difference in how someone feels valued. Yes, it might require a little bit of sacrifice on our time, but it is one way that we can serve God, a simple way that we can serve God in making ourselves available to listen. And there's a lot of resources out there to offer training in active listening, active, intentional, non-judgmental listening. And then the third point, sharing truth. Now, when the time was right, verse 25, Jesus starts to share the truth. And verse 27, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures. When the time was right, Jesus offered these explanations. He shared the truth. And this is the bit where maybe a lot of us will feel a bit out of our depth. Where do I even begin? How do I start explaining this? You know, it's completely normal to feel like that, completely normal to feel a little bit out of our depth or ill-equipped. But we can't all be expert apologists, you know, those Christians who are really skilled in knowing how to answer those deep questions of faith. We're not all going to be like that, but we can all offer something. We can all offer something, and we can equip ourselves. We can read books, we can watch videos, we can listen to talks around the sorts of questions that we think people are likely to ask us. We can be prepared. There's a lot of resources out there for that. But we can also equip ourselves by sharing our own testimonies, practicing our own testimonies. You know, when was the last time that you shared your story of coming to faith to someone? It's the sort of thing that we can practice, and I really encourage you to practice so we don't get like flummoxed on the spot of like, oh, where do I even begin with that? And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. And you know, and if we don't know answers to questions that people are asking, it's okay. Just be honest. Just say, you know, I don't know. But say what you do know. Share your own story. So it could be that you say, I don't know the answer to that question, but what I do know is what God has done in my own life. And have confidence in speaking from your own experience and not feel that you have to have all the answers to everything. And I'd really encourage you to try summarizing your story of faith in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. Practice that at home. Practice that with a friend. Say to someone over coffee this morning, let's do that next week. Let's practice. Keep me accountable. Let's try it. 3 minutes, because within that time you can highlight like these key points, and then the listener will pick up on what they're interested in and will ask you more. It's not supposed to be a monologue. You're supposed to just be putting something out there that they can then pick up on and ask you questions on. We can easily fall into the trap of feeling inadequate, can't we, when it comes to sharing our faith. But actually, you know, there's loads and loads and loads of people out there who know nothing about Christianity. They're not brought up with it. They don't grow up with it these days. And, you know, it's a blank piece of paper. So you probably know a lot more than the person that you're witnessing to. You probably know more than you feel that you do. So, don't fall into that trap of feeling inadequate or paralyzed by fear. Share what you know and trust God to use that. Sometimes as well, it is simply walking with others, not knowing the answers. But just because you don't know the answers, it doesn't mean you stop walking with them. Sometimes the most loving and constructive thing that we can say is, I don't know. I don't understand what is happening to you or those people that you love. And I'm so sorry that you're going through it. But I will stay with you. I will journey with you through this anyway, so that you are not alone in this. Sometimes that is the most loving and constructive thing that we can say. Fourthly, sharing food. Now, it's something here where you can see in verse 28 onwards, the disciples are inviting Jesus into their home, aren't they, to share food. And I hope that you know by now that food is vital for building relationships. You will have experienced that through Alpha. Brilliant to hear you running Alpha in a third space, in a coffee shop, and having food together in that. There is something about sharing food which is relaxing and natural and puts people at ease. And it's really good to invite people to meals in your home and in your church. Let's invite people into this. And again, people are not looking for the best culinary skills in the world. They're looking for company. They're looking for warmth. They're looking for belonging. Hospitality is hugely important. I've had people in my home where I've cooked for them, but they've commented on the sense of peace that is there in the home. And maybe when they've left, they've remembered the atmosphere more than they have the food. Because there's more going on than we realise. But it's also important to receive too. And sometimes we find this hard. We feel that we have to be the ones that are offering. We're serving the Lord, we're Christians. We have to be the one that's hosting and offering and being used by God in that way. But I've also learned that it's really important to be the guest as well as the host, to allow yourself to be the recipient of someone else's kindness. It sort of empowers them as you are doing that. So say yes to someone else's invitation to remind ourselves of what that is like. And Jesus, we see here, is the guest. Jesus often put himself in the position of being the guest. So think about that in your hospitality. And then gradual revelation. Gradual revelation. For the final sort of few verses, we see that the revelation of who Jesus was and is, the revelation of what had been happening, just it took time. In here, it took the space of several hours. before their eyes were opened. So like, oh, we see it now. And in our settings, it can take several days, weeks, months, years of Jesus being revealed to the person that we're sharing him with. And I don't believe that we always have to share everything all at once. Now, obviously, we have to hold that in balance, but sometimes it can be too overwhelming for someone. It's too much for them to take in, even. Now, I do recognise that sense of urgency that to see people saved, but there is also an element of trusting God, trusting his timing, because at the end of the day, we don't save anyone. We don't save anyone. Only the Holy Spirit does that. So sometimes it's good to drip feed gospel truths bit by bit over time. You know, a testimony here, praying with someone on another occasion. Then the next time you see them, maybe sharing a Bible verse, just bit by bit sharing things, building it up so it goes deeper and deeper and deeper. Do not discount the importance of seed sowing. The reaper would have nothing to reap if we didn't sow seeds over time. And as we do this with those that we're journeying with, there's a sense of discipleship. We're discipling someone before they've come to faith because we're building those foundations for them. We were doing some outreach at the front of our church one year to all these festival goers, lots of young people going to a huge music festival in Morden Park. We were handing out refreshments and offering prayer and things like that. And one of our volunteers, she was approached by female festival goer, and they sat on the wall together, and this festival goer said to her after a bit of time, "So what do you believe about God? I wonder, where would you be thinking, oh, where do I start? Do I start in Genesis? How much do I share?" My friend in that moment just said, "I believe God is right here, right now. God is right here, right now." They're the words that came out of her mouth, and from that it led her to talk about the power and the presence of God, that God is real, that he is living, that he is not distant, that he is close, and that she, this festival goer, can know the presence of God. So that led to her praying for her as well. So we don't have to share, you know, 3 hours worth of something straight away. Share what is important in that moment. And then finally, it's about giving hope. Giving hope. And the disciples, they were so excited when they realized they'd met Jesus. They got up and they ran to Jerusalem to share it with others. In a world which desperately lacks hope, we can be those who offer good news. Not a false hope with a facade which just pretends that everything is wonderful regardless of what's happening around us, but real eternal hope and a daily hope that gets us through, despite the brokenness of the world around us. Chung talked about the Talking Jesus report, and I wanted to talk about that this morning as well. This report that the Evangelical Alliance have put together is called Talking Jesus Report. You can find it online. It is a really, really useful tool. They have surveyed loads of people about sharing faith and about coming to faith. And they said that the key questions that people are asking, that non-Christians are asking today, are, will everything be okay? What happens when I die? Wow. I mean, you look at the world around you and it's no wonder people are asking those questions. Will everything be okay? And what happens when I die? And we can answer that to a degree. No, not everything this side of heaven will be okay. But there is a way that you can know peace in life on earth and a hope for eternity. But let's remember that we are not the Saviour. We are the signposts to the Saviour. Whilst we can follow Jesus' model, it's also good to remind ourselves, as I said, that we don't save anyone. The Holy Spirit does. Jesus does. It's a supernatural work in someone's heart. In verse 32, the disciples say, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road. It's a work of the heart that the Holy Spirit does to remove scales from people's eyes. We signpost people to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit does the work of conviction. Sometimes we can get ourselves so guilt-ridden with striving. Sometimes we just need to lift the pressure off a little bit. Yes, we've got to seize every opportunity. Absolutely we do. But also just acknowledge that we're doing this with Jesus. The greatness of God is at work. And ultimately, we come alongside others because Jesus has come alongside us. How can we not? How can we not come alongside others? Jesus has come alongside us. There is no path that we tread that he will not tread with us. There is no sorrow, despair, or confusion where he cannot bring the peace of his presence. And there is no future where he will not offer his hand and gently guide us. So as I finish, I want you just to maybe you can think of someone right now that you've been walking with for a while. Or maybe that there's someone that God is actually highlighting to you for you to start that journey of walking alongside them. Just in the silence, just close your eyes. Take a moment to lift them before God. Ask God to equip you for the ongoing journey. And then I'll pray and invite the musicians back. Thank you, God, that you are a God who walks alongside us. You are not distant, you are close. Thank you that you listen to all the things that we want to pour out to you. And thank you that you reveal truth to us. And you bring your peace and your presence. And Father, I ask that you will help us, stir us, to walk alongside others, to model to them something of how you have loved us, to be bold in sharing truth, to be sensitive in listening to brokenness, to be committed for the journey. Thank you, Jesus, that you equip us by your Holy Spirit. And you do not leave us alone in this task. We give you glory, and we pray these things for your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.